Welcome to another episode of Federal Data Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into the rapidly changing world of data, especially in the public sector, with your host, me, Stephen Cole, an Azure DoD specialist at Microsoft Federal. Let's jump right in. But before we get started, got to satisfy the legal folks. Hit it.
The content provided in this podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The opinions expressed herein belong solely to the individual host or guest and do not represent those of any other person or entity. All rights reserved. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, distributed, or transmitted in any form or by any means, including recording, photocopying, or other electronic or mechanical methods, without the prior written permission of the publisher, except in the case of brief quotations embodied in critical reviews and certain other non-commercial uses permitted by copyright law. For permission requests, DM the publisher on X, Federal Data Talk. The information in this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional advice. Listeners should not act upon any information provided in this podcast without seeking professional counsel.
All right. Hey, welcome. What we do here is we strive to bring you a different perspective, not just of data, because everybody's got a different definition of data. So it's data could be a media file, metadata, or security. You never know. It could be in the cloud. It could be on-prem. It depends on your perspective. So what we strive to do is have just a diversified take on these topics from an informal perspective. But quite frankly, today I've got really a great guest. So I kind of want to jump right in. So Vishal Amin, thank you for taking some time today to chat with us. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I don't know if Fantastic. I'm in the top any of your other guests.
Yeah, of course.
Great. So they may not.
Megan would disagree. Megan would say that there is no other guest that comes in. But I'm teasing. Yeah. No, I don't want to go there. So, she is. She's good. Actually, to be honest with you, Vishal, what's great is having people who are very competent in the technical components, but then also understanding they can back up a second and understand the impact of the strategic impact of having these tools be part of the toolbox. That a lot of our customers, whether it's in the public sector space or in other parts of Microsoft, how, quite frankly, we can help to affect change. And it goes back to what our mission is, you know, enabling every person or product on the planet to achieve more. And I think I butchered the mission a little bit, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, one of the things, I mean, I don't want to totally sidebar a conversation, but one of the things about Megan, especially being in the compliance space, and I think you and I would understand this, I mean, you know, fellow Marine, is there's a trait that a lot of technical folks strive to have and they try to build. And there's certain folks that just have it and sometimes just can't teach it. And I always look for it when I look at teams, and it's social intelligence, right? When I think about that character trait of social intelligence, I think about someone that can look at someone, look at what they're doing, look at what they're saying, look what their actions are, and then create assumptions off of it that are measured in data, right? And I think that is a huge trait that Megan has, and a lot of these folks have, is having that social intelligence of what's the intent of what our customers are doing, what are we doing with our products around governance, around compliance, around purview, right? Because it's always not black and white. You have to understand the intent behind what people do and why they do it, and I think Megan has that. So I think, I heard that when you were just talking about Megan. I immediately think about things like social intelligence, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good call out. That's a good call out. I like the way that you had mentioned a handful of things. So before we jump into potentially the topics for today, because there's going to be a couple of things that we'll talk about here just over the next 15, 20 minutes, let people know a little bit about you, because and kind of what you're doing currently, kind of what your role is, but then also some of the circles, if at all possible, if you could add some color and some context around, how security is viewed and kind of where you sit from a market standpoint, and then kind of what you've done up until this point to get to this point, Vishal, if you could.
Sure. Loaded question. I'll try to keep my intro really short. We have 8,000 security professionals at Microsoft. I think I've shared with you, I only look at myself as one of them. And that's who I am. here at Microsoft. I still love to turn on the technology. I love to demo. I love to whiteboard a lot. I have the privilege and the honor of leading some of the most knowledgeable and just brilliant leaders around security in our defense and national security space here at Microsoft Federal. My career here has been short-lived to date compared to a lot of the tenured folks here at Microsoft. I think this year I've been here at Microsoft for just a few days over 4 years. Prior to Microsoft Federal, I did work here at Microsoft in the enterprise side of the house, and I had the privilege of working with some of our large retail and enterprise customers as a security advisor for them. And then prior to that, in the cloud security startup world and at large tech companies for just 3-4 years prior to Microsoft, where I got to learn public sector technology, nonprofit technology, how we invest in people and processes within different industries, from retail to nonprofit to enterprise to government. Prior to that, I was in the Marine Corps for 21 years. And I was not a technology person. So a lot of folks that come out of the service that do a lot of different things, I was not, right? I was an air officer for a Special Operations Command prior to retiring. I was in the F-18 community for 10 years and got to fly around all over the world for quite some time in different theaters. And then prior to that, I was enlisted during the Clinton administration. And the reason I got into cyber was because of the data compromise that put my life and my data at risk. And I dedicated my life to cyber after that, taught myself how to code, taught myself a couple languages, and then taught myself security, and not just security, but data centers and voice and different types of platform before I threw my whole career into cloud security. Right now, I sit on a few thought leader groups and boards around the United States and globally that have a lot to do with national security, critical infrastructure, with the goal of just advancing this industry, to think about things a lot more diverse and to, quite bluntly, just do the next right thing, right? Do more good around cybersecurity and not think of it as something that's retracting us or compartmentalizing us, but something that enables us to do a lot more, if that makes sense. So that's a little bit about, you know, and I'm an avid beach person. You see my surfboards here in my office, but I'm a pretty casual person.
I was going to say, there's two or three things I wanted to call out there for the folks who aren't having the opportunity to see this over video. They're just listening to the audio version. Yeah, Vishal has a handful of surfboards directly behind him. That coupled with the fact that he slipped in the pilot time in the military. If you've ever had conversations with pilots, they are constantly thinking in like four dimensions. It's fantastic. You have conversations with them, and I'm teasing a little bit, tongue in cheek, but the guys and gals that fly these aircrafts, that's not like you can stop and ask for directions while you're up there. You have to be able to be thinking three-dimensionally all the time, flying with both your feet and your hands at the same time, which is kind of indicative of the environment that we're helping some of our customers navigate, not just with our technologies, but just practically through processes, business processes, conversations, et cetera, that you just referenced, Vishal, whether it's in the enterprise space or in the public sector space. But here on Data Talk, we try to keep these conversations oriented around how these technologies can help with the culture change, how we can, given some of our context as prior service members and working with some of our civilian counterparts, how we can help the public sector be prepared for nation state threats, all the things that come after us on a day-to-day basis. So in the context of Data Talk, let's talk real quick about some of these products. So specifically, Purview has come up a handful of times, but I'm interested from your perspective, kind of what that really means, and then how is that topic or those topics that Purview touches on, when it comes to the security industry as a whole, how important, how much more important have those particular topics like discovery, et cetera, been over the last 5 or 10 years that maybe weren't necessarily as critical prior to that time?
Buzzwords and things that we've done over the last 5 or 10 years that are valid, but also we've built entire programs around things like zero trust. We talk about machine learning. We talk about AI. I mean, you can use Fusion right now. with a few of our products. But you mentioned purview. And I don't want to get mixed up in our Microsoft terminology of what we look at as our purview, right, features. When I look at purview, you know, we're looking at this comprehensive set of solutions that we have that look across an entire organization. We look at all their infrastructure, and we really put it together, governance, insider risk, compliance, all to one spot. And what we do with purview is really what I think purview is. And let's take the Microsoft terminology out of it. We're looking at the end of the day, insider risk, information protection, compliance, governance, data discovery. And for me, what it boils down to, Stephen, is visibility. It's governance and visibility. Because when we talk about all those buzzwords that I just mentioned when I started answering your question, the biggest one that's out right now is what? It's AI. But when someone says AI to me, some people hear data, and some people hear LLMs, and some people hear AI outcomes. I hear governance. I hear compliance. I hear visibility. And I feel that that's where we're investing our time. Because it's not just about AI, it's about ethical AI. It's not just about AI, it's about the use cases. But none of that can matter unless that data is clean. It's almost sovereign inside of these boundaries. And when we talk about purview on Microsoft, I'm not just talking about Microsoft data. It's got to be all of the data on premises, multi-cloud, cross-cloud, SaaS environments, right? Compliance, visibility and governance is the core of purview. I think that's what we should be thinking. And that's where the industry, indifferent of what we're investing in, is heading, right? When we look at zero trust initiatives, we have to know where that data is. We have to know how it's being channeled somewhere. We'd have to know how it's tagged so that we can actually make those assessments for that outcome-driven framework. It's all about visibility and governance.
It's interesting to think about how to go about implementing and accounting for what you know are threats. So I guess a better example would be whenever you're flying an aircraft, or if we even just distill this down to going through the training process to prepare for that environment. When you see and identify a threat, you kind of can tense up, or without having gone through the repetitions enough, folks have a tendency sometimes to tense up or to be restrictive, as opposed to what we're working on in terms of innovation and not necessarily having a strict, regimented, maybe restrictive process. And so I'm curious kind of what your thoughts are about how do you cultivate, you know, and make innovation okay, but at the same time, not doing it with the sacrifice of security or sacrifice of some of the tools that, you know, some of our team work with our customers about.
So I hope I take this question where you're intending. I'll break it down even more, because as a Marine, I need to break it down as much as possible to make it very simple for myself to think about. In the aviation community, not just in military aviation, but in every aviation, we have three terms that we utilize when you're flying an aircraft: aviate, navigate, and communicate. That's it. And when I look at that terminology, why we use it in aviation, I share this with my teams daily. When they come with maybe something to mitigate, maybe a blocker, maybe what a customer has a question on, the number one thing I ask is the plane in the air? Are we still flying? Are we in jeopardy of falling out of the sky? Right? There's no restrictions. There's no boundaries. There's no security governance. There's nothing there. Like, are we flying? Right? Are we surviving in what we're doing? Is the data there? Is it on premises? Is it on the servers plugged in? Yes, Vishal, that's done. Awesome. Then we can move to the next step. Let's navigate in the right direction. And that's where we could prioritize what you're saying, right? In this navigation, especially with data, the first thing we need to do is understand classification and data discovery. Are we navigating there, right? Are we able to do some of that work on premises across multi-cloud, right? Associate labels in all of these environments. Can we do that work? After that, are we mitigating risk from there? Are we investing in insider risk management so we can help identify and manage those risks posed by all the insider threats? Are we navigating in the direction that this organization wants? Once that is met, then we communicate, right? So it's the same concept, right? Keep ourselves afloat, do what we need to survive, indifferent of platform, indifferent of where the data is, indifferent of what company you're investing in. Then let's move it into the right direction. And then from there, then let's communicate why we did it and then adjust from there, right? Because you can't just classify data when the airplane's falling out of the sky. Who cares? Similar, who cares if I'm telling air traffic controller that my plane is falling out of the sky and I'm using all that brain power to communicate when I should be using that extra brain power to keep that plane afloat. I should be utilizing that extra brain power to put those applications in the cloud, right? There's so many parallels between those three words and how I look at these processes, especially around data discovery and compliance and just cloud in general. So hopefully that answered your question, wasn't too confusing, but I really do break it down into those three things every time I think about how to innovate and where to invest.
Yeah, that's exactly the direction that I was hoping that you would go with it. One, because I'm not sure how you learn or what the best way for you to feel like you're gathering what it is that you're talking about, but I've heard it discussed a handful of times in new experiences or in new environments. There's a MetaF18 pilot. He did some things with Jocko Willink and Leif Babin's crew.
I know Dave.
The Echelon Front guys. There's a guy named Dave Burke, who,
great guy. Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal guy. But he gave a talk one time about the OODA loop principle, the observe, orient, decide, act. And that framework and pilots, in my opinion, do a very good job of helping to understand how dynamic some of these environments can be. And I don't necessarily think that flying is maybe the same thing as an on-prem to cloud migration, but that is kind of a very dynamic break apart process, in that you have to go, well, I mean, maybe how some things were architected were based off of what the environment restricted that capability for. Now that you're in a completely different set of circumstances, that it's a completely different environment. So you have to observe, orient, decide, act in terms of how you do that.
I would say, like, even what he's saying is these principles can be adapted into our mission sets, into our communities.
100%.
When I look at security in general, and you look at all the nation state bad actors utilizing data for malicious things, right? Some people can argue to say that moving applications and workloads to the cloud isn't as important as fighting these bad guys on the front right now. Now, I can use AB Navigate, communicate in different facets depending on what your cup of tea is here. But I can also say that, sure, I can fight and put all my resources against fighting it, or I could do this vanilla thing where I can put my data somewhere where I could see it all, so it can help me fight something better. So it's now this simple action like flying has become just as important, as critical as the fight, right? So I think when you look at military terminology and how we get tactical and technical with how we process data, how we analyze data, how we store, we haven't even talked about storage, storing data. One of the most talked about topics that I think we're going to hear about at places like RSA this year is hunting, remediating is all great, but how are you storing it long-term, short-term? These aren't cosmic conversations, right? They're money conversations, but they're just as important, because when you remediate, when you look at the data, where it is, how it's classified, it's only as good as how accessible it is and how long you have it. And it's not just sitting on the ground and it disappears, right? Because it's transactional. Right. So these concepts that we talk about in the military side of the house and the aviation side of the house is just as relevant, and they're just as important, as simple as they are.
Understood. The correlation between the two, it's absolutely there. It's part of how you get advised too. So, all right. So I'm going to switch gears on you just real quick, because I know we're right up against it in terms of time here, Vishal. Where you had made reference just a few minutes ago to a conference that you're going to be at. You know, we're recording this, you know, Q1 of 2024, calendar year 2021 or 2024, excuse me. And I'm curious when folks are listening to this, like, what's the best way for them to either connect with you, or if some of the topics that you've touched on kind of strike a nerve and they want to continue the conversation, like, how can folks get in touch with either you or your team?
Well, they're always more than welcome to connect with me or follow me or the team on LinkedIn. I am fairly available there. Yeah. Pretty fairly available there. At the end of the day, there's so many organizations outside of Microsoft, including Microsoft, that do so much, like Google, like AWS, like Oracle. We're all there, right? And these communities aren't just the cloud communities, but they're organizations like RSA Conference, like the America's Future Series, even nonprofits that have nothing to do with technology that I'm involved in as well, or forums like the Bush Institute or the Reagan Forum, right? These are places where I think we have to spend more time and interact with each other in, because we're mixing policy, we're mixing actual budget, we're mixing innovation, we're mixing outcomes all together in one conversation. We can't have siloed conversations anymore around just what data can do, how much it costs, and where it's going to go. I look at building security organizations the same way. Traditionally, we have the same demographic of folks that have been engineering and building security and doing things for years and years and years, and you just hire experience. But you'll be surprised at how much more impact and forward momentum you'll have if you hire someone without experience that has passion, that you train the experience on, and they think about things differently. So go to these organizations, go to these events, and think about things the way you know how to, even though the intent is different. And I don't know when this will be published, but look at organizations like RSA. RSA is the largest security gathering in the world every year. One of the most impactful and amazing events that you'll ever go to. But if you go there not as a security person and as a cloud infrastructure person, you'll probably find more value and more opportunity on how to raise the tide so all the ships raise, instead of compete and cross-collaborate with all the security companies. Right? It's a whole different way about looking at community. And that's how I would encourage everyone listening, right, to, you know, this podcast, especially centered around data, is you look at that data diversely. And that's how we're going to move forward, right? Don't look at it in the traditional realm, and utilize these forums that don't usually look at data to talk about data, right? This new industry is all about data, and there's no one from a CEO down to an admin whose opinion doesn't matter anymore, because data exists in every level of an organization and every facet of your world and every facet of your work.
Yeah, this, you just hit the nail right on the head in terms of what the intent is behind this particular forum on this podcast. And, you know, if you're not connected with Vishal on LinkedIn, my encouragement to you is take him up on the challenge. Go reach out to him. And if you happen to be at some of those organizations that he had referenced before in terms of conferences or their community events, go up to him, have these conversations and these discussions. One, just because even just as recently as a year ago, there was discussion in one of our customer sets about infrastructure and really what that meant. And infrastructure wasn't necessarily, the forum was, there was community leaders, there was mission owners, there was DIB partners, there was agencies that were all there talking about the physical municipal infrastructure that goes and supports the mission at that respective area. Not understanding that some of the investment in cloud tools actually also meant infrastructure, because of the hardware, the connectivity, the relationship between all of those different elements, they're very, very well connected. So I agree with you. I agree that the traditional silos that existed, there's merit to it from a lot of different perspectives from a security or OPSEC standpoint, but there's also a need to help break down some of those silos when you talk about comprehension, discovery, and continuity there, or interoperability.
And it's a multi-vendor, multi-community approach. Because there's investments that people make that you're never going to be able to shake, and you shouldn't, because they're critical in what their functions are. So how do you innovate at that level, right? There's organizations that, for example, do operational technology and bring in data from the edge. But instead of compete against those organizations, how do you take that data and then roll it up into helping gain more visibility, right? These are places where we could collaborate and actually meet customers and people at their mission rather than try to change their mission and their processes. This is also how we mitigate the skills gap and how we mitigate job gaps and how we innovate more, right? This is now a multilateral, you know, cross team and organizational effort. And we all have to do our part and jump in and think differently.
You and your good ideas. Let me tell you, and I'm teasing. All right. So if anything that Vishal had talked about here, any of those resonate, my encouragement to you is leave a comment. Leave a comment in the social media platform that you saw this at, or write a review. Again, call to action here. Price of admission to listen to this, something like this, is also to go and have a conversation. So reach out to either myself, Vishal, get in touch with us. Love to have a conversation with you about your respective use case. Happy to have that. So Vishal, anything else you want to leave these folks with before we wrap?
Yeah, let me challenge everyone with one thing. If you're going to reach out, ask the tough questions and ask simple questions. And what I mean by that is don't be afraid to call out the obvious, right? Microsoft, you are doing this. Oracle doing this, AWS doing this, data doing this, the Department of Defense doing this. We're doing this on the retail side. This just doesn't make sense and this would never work. Challenge folks every time you talk to them, because without that frame collision, without that thinking differently, we're not going to be able to move anywhere as a community. So, you know, that's my ask to you is don't be afraid to make that ask.
Fantastic. I appreciate you. Thank you very much for the time. And I appreciate some of the things that you shared, Vishal.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of the day. And yeah, you bet. Those of you who like listen, subscribe, make sure you press the bell, the notifications, all the things. And then you'll get new episodes coming at you here soon. So appreciate y'all. Take care. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Federal Data Talk. Hopefully you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your journey into the world of data. Join us for new episodes, but don't forget to like and subscribe. That way you don't miss it whenever we release them, for thought-provoking discussions and interviews with industry experts. Thanks again. We'll see you soon.